When it says there, the title of the message is in the first verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, you notice at the beginning of this study, and we look at it, this is a Psalm of David when he's getting in his old age, getting up in years. And let me give you three reasons why. There's a clear sense that he sees the frailty of his life. How frail his life is. The Lord pitieth his children. Pities them. And I tell you, and that second thing about it is, he had a much, much more awareness of sin. Of sin. And then thirdly, he emphasizes God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And I tell you something else, there's not one request. He didn't ask God for one thing in this psalm. Not one thing. All he did in this is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This in Tom's psalm, you know, whenever you, as you get older, I think this happens. You know, it's a sign of spiritual maturity when you give more praise to God and ask for less. And a lot of times you don't ask for anything. All you want to do is just thank him and praise him. And when we ask for things, we ask it for somebody else. We don't ask it for ourselves. The only thing we ask for ourselves is mercy and grace. But what we ask for everybody else is different. And I tell you, you know, and most people have this attitude, give me, give me, give me. But as we grow in grace, I think our prayers change. I'll tell you something else about this psalm. The word Jehovah or the Lord is mentioned 11 times in 22 verses. And I tell you what, don't get taken up with God's blessings, God's gifts, and God's benefits. Let's get taken up with the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus himself, and get taken up with him. And David starts out here by saying this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, when you're talking about praise, this is the highest form of praise. He didn't use his lips. He's praying from his heart. He's praying from his very soul, his innermost being. And he reaches out and he so loves and praises the Lord. And I tell you, it's a blessed, blessed man who knows how to converse with himself and converse with God while he's on his bed or anywhere else he's at. Conversing with God himself. And I tell you what, and especially when you're concerning spiritual truths. And I tell you what, let me give you a few things. When we talk, and then David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And look at what he said here. All that is within me. Everything that's in me. All that's in me. Everything about me. Everything that's in me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And bless his holy name. Let our judgment, we all have judgments, bless him by submitting to his word. Let our imagination bless him as we think on him. Let our affections, our hearts, bless him by loving what he loves. Let our desires, and all we have desires, let our desires bless his holy name because we seek his will. Let our hope bless him for the assurance and peace that he gives us and the rest he gives us in Christ. And then it says, bless his holy name. And this holy name, that's who he is. You can put holy in front of every attribute of God. You can. Every attribute of God you can put over. That's his nature. He's holy. His word is holy. The Lord Jesus Christ incarnate was holy. And I tell you what, we want to bless the Lord for his written word, bless his Lord, the Lord for his word incarnate, and God is going to be God. And I'm thankful he's God. Bless his holy name. All that's within me, bless his holy name. And I tell you, holiness is what makes him so beautiful. Holiness and righteousness, what makes him so glorious. There's lots of gods out there, but they're not holy. Lots of gods out there, but they're not righteous. Lots of gods out there, but they don't inhabit eternity. lots of gods out there, but they're not called holy. And I tell you, his name is holy. Holy, holy, holy. That's what they call him. And then look right there in verse 2. And this psalmist's gratitude and prayer has four attributes. David has four attributes in his prayer and gratitude here. The first one is personal. He said, with my soul. I bless the Lord with my soul. Secondly, it's sincere. He said, in all that's within me. Thirdly, it's constant. Look what he says there in verse 2. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And listen to what he said, and it's constant. Huh? Forget not. Oh, I bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Let me forget not. Don't let me forget. And then it's also specific. Look what he said there in verse 2. And forget all his benefits. Oh, let all our praise be for his all that he gives us. And then David goes down through here. The psalmist goes down through here. And he gives a list of the benefits. He gives a list of God's benefits. Look what he said in verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, boy, I have a bunch of them. I have a bunch of them, and I'm going to have some more. But he says, forgives all thine iniquities. All of them. Past, present, and future. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is of God. He delights to show mercy. Forgiveness comes from God. Because he's the only one that can forgive. And forgiveness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who paid our ransom. Redeemed us. And gave us his righteousness. And it's complete. This forgiveness of all thine iniquity is complete. He said he forgives all thine iniquities. Now I tell you what. We could not begin. We have no idea. We could not begin. If God let us live for 1,000 years, we could not even begin to think of how many iniquities and sin we've committed. We have no idea. I don't have no idea how many I did today or yesterday. We are so unconscious of it anymore. But he goes on and says, now look here, not only forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now let me say a little something about this. Diseases of this body are the results of sin. This body has trouble in it because of sin. The minute we're born, we start dying. And as we get older, we realize that this body gets weaker and weaker. It's a corrupt body. And I tell you, it's the results of sin. And if God chooses to heal your body when it's sick, if it pleases him to do it, and it fulfills his design, he can heal your body. He certainly can. If it's according to his will. But the disease he's talking about here is the disease of sin. Spiritual disease. And our sins, that's what they are. The only place your sins can be healed is by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, by his stripes, we're healed. Huh? He is bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. You know, he bore all our spiritual sicknesses, all our spiritual diseases in his own body on the tree. I remember one time, I was over years ago, this fellow got to tell me, you know, that he'd been praying for 3 years for God to heal his back. And he said, I was claiming the promise, you know, that by his stripes we're healed. I asked him, I said, well, if it took 3 years for Christ to heal you, and you said his stripes is what healed you finally, why didn't they heal you to begin with? And what is his stripes for? Is it for physical healing or spiritual healing? He said, I never thought about it. I said, why did it take so long if Christ's stripes said by his stripes we are healed? That means by stripes we're healed. Healed of sin. Healed of the thing that I'd rather be healed of sin and let my body just rot and corrupt right in front of my own eyes. To not, I can, you can, this body's going to the dust. But oh, to have them sins gone. And I tell you, that fellow said, I never thought about that before. And I asked him, I said, well, if the stripes of Christ are for your healing, then there'd be nobody sick who's a believer. But if his stripes was for the cleansing of your sin, then you ain't got no sin. He had never thought about anything that in his whole life. Then he started telling me about all the souls he won before that was for him and I ever parted ways. Parted ways. I began giving him good books to read. Him and I had more conversation. He said, every time I come up here, I learn something I didn't even know. Because, I taught the scriptures about it. And it's so many people are so confused about God's word. And I look what else he says now. Who healeth all thy diseases? And then look what it says again. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Oh my, destruction. Well, do you feel like you're under destruction? This old body's wearing out, ain't it? And we're going to die. All of us are. Every single one of us. We may die violently in an automobile wreck. May die somebody shooting us. Who knows? I've seen people die in great, great pain. And have a lot of pain in their life. But I tell you one thing. Whatever it is, we ain't never going to perish. Whatever kills us, we're not going to perish. We're not going to perish. You know why? Because Christ is our righteousness. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ, our sin offering and sacrifice, redeemed us from the judgment of sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ, risen, redeemed us from the grave. And I tell you what, we're not going to be satisfied till we awake in his likeness. And then look what else he says in verse 4. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness. These are some of the benefits that he says. Forget not all his benefits. These are just some of the benefits he gives us. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh my. Kings and monarchs in this world, they wear these great big crowns. The Queen of England's got a crown that's worth probably millions of dollars. Rubies and diamonds and pearls and all kinds of things in it. Emeralds, just this great big, she just barely can't hold it up. And they put this great robe on her, and make her look so good, and these men look like that. And I tell you, they look at that and they'll see all the silver and the gold and the pomp and the ceremony. Let everybody know how much wealth they have materially in their kingdom. But all them kingdoms going to pass away. But you know what God said? He's going to crown us. He's going to crown us. What are you going to crown us with? Loving kindness. You got a crown on my head. Loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh my, look what else he says here. And the loving and with tender mercies. Ooh-wee. Loving kindness and tender mercies. What a crown to wear. What a crown that God puts on his people. What a crown. And his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and peace. And it'll never pass away. And I tell you, men wear crowns of gold. You know what? They wear crowns of gold and purple, and wear crowns of gold, and they wear these big, beautiful purple robes and all that kind of things, royal robes. But we're dressed in white. Our robes are white. White like snow. Because Christ made them white in the blood of his Lamb. And look what else he says now there in verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Good things, so thy youth is renewed as an eagle. Oh my. I know this. I think I put an article in the bulletin this week about how satisfied we are with Christ, but the world's never satisfied with anything. But God said he satisfies our mouths with good things. He feeds us spiritual food. But a natural man is never, ever satisfied. He's never at peace because the things of this world can never, ever satisfy the soul. But we have the good things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the good things of His glory, the good things of His grace, the good things of His mercy, the good things of His love, the good things of His forgiveness. We got so many good things from Christ. We are Christ, and Christ is God's, and we're His. And then He said, all these good things satisfies us. We come here hungry, He feeds us. Come here weary, He gives us strength. He always does. And then He says, and thy youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, we come and God blesses our youth and strength of grace. And you know, He constantly renews those all the time. This outward man perishes day by day, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And I tell you what, God's people in old age, God gives us a clear eye, gives us an ear for His word more, and we don't get weary. Look what He says over here. Are you weary with Christ after all these years? Are you weary with the Lord? Well, of course not. Look over in Psalm 40, verse 13. Verse 31. Oh, an eagle said, do new youth, an eagle's got an eye that can see. God blesses us. Blessed are your eyes, for they see the things that they see. And look what He said here in verse 29. He gives power to the faint. You come here so weak and faint. And to them that have no might, He gives them strength. Even young men shall faint and be weary, the youth, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, go up into the very presence of God. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know why? Because His mercy and grace is always, always upon His people. And then look what He says there in verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That means that God, everybody that's mistreated other people, oppressed people, held people down, mistreated people, God said, I'm going to execute a righteous judgment upon them. And I'm going to do it. I'll be the one to do it. And men will get the just retribution of God from His hand one of these days. Nobody's getting by with nothing. And then look what He says there in verse 7. He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. Now there's two different things here. God made His way known unto Moses. He made His way of mercy and grace in Christ known unto Moses. You know, He didn't leave Moses to find out truth for himself. God taught Moses. Moses, our Lord said, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me, for Moses wrote about me. And I tell you, like, He didn't leave Moses to figure out truth for himself, and He don't leave His people to figure out truth for themselves. And only God alone can reveal Himself. Nobody else can. But the people of Israel, all they saw was His acts. They saw all those plagues in Egypt. They saw the water split open and walk through on dry land. They saw the lamb the Passover lamb shed blood over the door and litter and the post. They saw God come through and kill the firstborn. They saw water come out of a rock. They saw food come down from heaven. But they didn't know God's way. All they ever saw was His acts. And that's all a lot of people are interested in, is what God can do instead of what God's already done. Huh? Oh my. And then look what I'm going to go through these pretty quick. Verses 8 through 14. You know, David here, the psalmist, he rejoices in God's feelings for him and His love for him and His dealings with His chosen people in Christ. Look what he said in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Oh, compassionate, merciful, gracious. Oh, his anger is a strange word, plenteous in mercy. And I tell you what, in his mercy forgives our sins. Look what he says in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Ain't you grateful that that said that there? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. He didn't give us what we had coming to us. Oh, no, no, no. I tell you, his long-suffering compassion waits on us and never fails. And then look what he says. And you know, when he says he's not dealt with us, will not always chide, not always be angry, that he has not dealt with us after our sins. And here's, this is, you know how much we understand about it? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so high is his mercy toward them that fear him. Oh my, our mind can't comprehend these great mercies given to us in Christ. It's higher than the heavens. And look what he says. And here's how he dealt with our sins. He says, as far as the east from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, when you talk about forgiving, throwing them as far as the east is from the west, it cannot, our sin and guilt can never return to us, no more than the east can become the west or the west can become the east. That means that they're not there at all. They're not there at all. And then look what he says. Here's another thing. Has not rewarded us, and how he treats us so wonderfully. And like as a father, oh, how many people love their children. Like as a father pitieth his children when they're weak, they're sick, they're frail. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And oh my, all who worship him in fear. And then look what it says. You know why he pities us? For he knows our frame. Knows our frame. What is our frame? He remembers we're just dust. We're just dust. Just dust. Dust we come from, to dust we're going to go back. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our infirmities. He knows our frailties. And he made us out of dust. We're still dust. And we're going to return to the dust. Going to return to it. But now look what he says about man outside of Christ. Well, for every man. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. You know, you see these beautiful flowers come up. They live for just a little while. Soon gone. You know, we had that little freeze here a week or two ago, and we covered up some things we didn't. And I mean, you go out there and look, and all these beautiful blooms just dead, rotten. That's the way man is. You know, the wind blew on it, and they're gone. And then you have these beautiful flowers. They come up. We rejoice in them. And they never last but just a short time. He said, that's the way man is. He comes up like a flower. And then God's wind begins to blow on it. And the wind of this old flesh and sin and our bodies. Oh, I tell you, they're like grass and flower. They're soon, soon gone. But the mercy of the Lord, look what he says. The wind passes over and it's gone. Listen to this. And the place thereof, don't even remember it. We'll be gone one of these days, and you know, 4 or 5 generations out, nobody won't even know we is on this planet, know we is in this world. But our Lord's grace in Christ, oh my, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. We go, but his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And then look what he says, and those that keep in his covenant. Oh, thank God for the covenant of grace. Thank God for his covenant. And then David, the psalmist, closes closes here with great, great praise of the knowledge and power and glory and sovereignty of God Almighty. Look what he says. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. Oh my. God's got a throne. Where's it at? It's in the heavens. And it says even the heaven of heavens can't contain him. And his kingdom ruleth over all. His throne's fixed. It'll never be moved. And his government, his kingdom is over all things. Nothing ever upsets God. Nothing ever surprises God. Never no disorder, never no surprise. And look what he'll accomplish his purpose and be glorified. And that's why he says, bless the Lord ye angels that excel in strength. Everybody that ought to, you know, you angels that God created, hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord of hosts, all those armies in heaven, and ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord all his works. Let everything in this universe, in all places of his dominion, wherever God rules and reigns, let them bless the Lord. Everything bless the Lord. Angels, ministers, armies in heaven, all of his works in every place under his dominion. And then he says, since they bless it, I'm going to bless the Lord too. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you've been gracious to us again. Let us go through your word. Let us look at your word. And I pray that it was made a blessing. Lord, it's real, it's alive, it's vital. And we worship the Lord in spirit. We worship him from our heart, from our soul. We praise him when from our innermost being. We thank on him in our innermost being. And we praise him from our innermost being. And Lord, help, we already have more than we could ever possibly want or need in this world. You've gave us exceedingly abundantly anything we could thank or ask for. So Lord, we don't ask anything for ourselves except grace and mercy. And Lord, we pray for those though that are sick, whose bodies are frail, who have heartache and sorrow, who are facing death, facing sickness. And Lord, those of this congregation and our preacher brethren and the things that they're going through, God bless. Lord, thank you for them. And we know that your grace is sufficient. You'll never fail them. You'll never leave them, never forsake them. So again, we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Amen and amen. All right, I'll see you Sunday morning, God willing.